Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
Man, I'm excited for this morning in a few different ways. One of the reasons I'm excited is the opportunity to share and be real. But I want to start off with just this thought. You know, whenever we cross paths with friends or acquaintances, church family, it's not uncommon for us to kind of start off with a pretty standard greeting when we first see them. Hey, how are you? What's going on? What's happening in your life? How are things? Or some version of that. I'd be willing to bet by the majority of you, before you sat down in these seats, you were either on the receiving end of a question like that, or you asked someone else a question like that. How are you doing? And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just what we do. Now, since these greetings have become pretty standard, so have our responses. And so when someone says, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? We usually pull out a standard response as well. And we say things like, I'm good. I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if you used any form of those responses. Of course, there is one additional go-to response that I didn't mention, but it's one of the most common. See, oftentimes our response to the question of how are you relates to how busy we are or how much we have going on. I definitely know it's a go-to response for me. I'll say something along the lines of, I'm good, just busy. I'm doing all right, just got a lot of things going on right now. Is that a go-to response for anybody else? Something along those lines, right? And we say, you know what, we're good. We're just trying to keep up. We're doing all right, just running after the kids. I'm okay, but work is a little crazy right now. And while there are many ways to answer that question of how are you, right, so many of our answers share this common thread of busyness. Have you ever stopped to think, though, why is that? Why do we answer in that particular way? Well, first, I think it's a pretty common response because it's true. We are busy. We are running after the kids. We do have a lot going on. Work is crazy right now. Life is full. And so while it's not the most compelling way for us to answer that question, at least it's honest. But why else do we answer that particular question that way? And again, I think it's a common response because busyness is how we've been conditioned to live. It's part of our culture. You see, busyness is celebrated. It's expected. We're coached to never take breaks. We're coached to go at this nonstop pace, to hustle all the time. And as a society, we celebrate busyness. We celebrate the grind. We celebrate this nonstop pace, the workaholics, the ultra productive. We praise those who do the absolute most. We always go, go, go. And anything else that's less than that is seen as laziness. And we feel guilty whenever we're not living life as if our hair is on fire. See, throughout this series, we've been talking about a variety of core habits to develop in our lives. And today we're talking about instituting the core habit of rest or Sabbath. And if I'm being real, I wish I had any other topic to preach on. Anything else. When Pastor Chris said, hey, this is likely going to be what you're preaching on week five of this series, I was like, I'm good. Like, I don't want to do that. I want no part of that. And the primary reason for that is because I feel unqualified to teach on it. Because I don't do this very well. But this past week, I was reminded that throughout Scripture, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And he can use us in spite of our faults and our weaknesses. And so I stand before you today, not as someone who has figured this out. I'm standing up here not as someone who has it all together. I'm standing as someone who is in the midst of the journey. I'm standing before you as someone who needs to practice what they are about to preach. And thankfully, I'm able to say that I'm growing a little bit. I'm taking some steps, even small ones, in the right direction, but there is still plenty of work to do. Just ask my wife. That being said, I would imagine, and I really, really hope that some of you here in this room are way further along than me and others of us in this room on this particular topic. And if that's you, man, praise God for that, because we need you. We need you to model what it looks like to rest and to do that well. And if you're like me, the ones who are struggling to break free from hustle culture, then I hope this morning serves as an opportunity to keep on working on it and to take another step in the right direction. So as we dive into this particular topic, I invite you to turn in your Bibles or navigate in your Bible app to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, and that's where we're going to be spending the majority of our time together this morning. And as you're turning there, though, I want to begin with some good news for those of you who might be struggling to embrace rest. It's good news for those of you who love to work and love to get stuff done, or for those of you who are living life as if your hair is on fire. You see, the good news is that God's plan, it's for us to work and to be productive. He wants us to get stuff done. He wants us to take care of business. You see, a lot of people think that work is a consequence of the fall, when sin entered the world. And they assume that having to work is a result of God's punishment for Adam and Eve's sin. When I worked at Old Navy as a young adult, you better believe I thought it was a consequence of the fall, right? Why else would I have to restack the same sweaters over and over and over again, right? This has got to be a result of sin. But God gave Adam and Eve work to do before sin entered the world. You see, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, "The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." This means that work and getting stuff done and being productive, it has always been a part of God's plan for us. And again, this is good news for those of us who share that type A personality and love to cross stuff off the list and then make a list of the stuff that we actually already did just so we can cross it off again. However, like work, God's plan for us has always included rest. And we see this since the beginning of creation. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." You see, from the very beginning, God established this rhythm of both work and rest, meaning there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a solid work ethic and striving to be productive. We should work hard. We should cross things off the list. But unfortunately, far too many of us ignore the other half of the rhythm. And without rest, work becomes a problem. And so this morning, we want to learn more about God's design for rest and how it applies to our lives. As mentioned a few minutes ago, God modeled his design for work and rest in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, but we also see God work to establish this rhythm amongst the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16. Before we dive in there, allow me to provide you with some context, some background leading up to this chapter. See, after living as slaves in Egypt for 400 years, God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh in Egypt and demand that he release the Israelites, God's people, from slavery. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and so he refused to obey God and Moses' command to let the people go. And this led to God performing 10 miraculous signs, each having an adverse effect on the Egyptians. And one after another, they performed these miracles, but it wasn't until the 10th plague where the firstborn children in Egypt, including Pharaoh's son, when they were killed. And that is when Pharaoh allowed the Israelites to leave. Now, if you're familiar with this story, you know that Pharaoh's decision was short-lived. Not long after he had allowed the Israelites to go, he gathered up his army and they went after the Israelites in order to bring them back to the land of Egypt and require them that they continue to live as slaves. And so he gathers them up and as in pursuit, we see that God performs yet another miracle. And he splits the Red Sea and allows the Israelites to cross over on dry ground and escape from Egypt. And so after 400 years of bondage, the Israelites were finally free. And this brings us to Exodus 16, just days after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea. And essentially, the Israelites went from slaves to nomads in the desert. And having left Egypt, they no longer had access to their normal sources for food and water. And unfortunately, the Israelites, they start to grumble and complain about their situation. But God has a plan to provide what they need. Allow me to read chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. It says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.'" Jump down to verse 21. It says, "Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning.' So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. 'Eat it today,' Moses said, 'because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any.'" See, here we see this pattern of work and rest that God modeled in Genesis chapter 2 being taught now to the Israelites. For 6 days, they're to work and to gather food, but the seventh day is meant to be a day of rest. And to ensure that the people are able to rest, God instructs them to gather twice as much as what they need on day 6 so that they have what they need on day 7. Meaning taking a break, resting for one day, won't result in scarcity or unmet needs. Let's check out what happens next, starting in verse 27. "So all the people took the opportunity to rest and praise God for his incredible provision." No, that is not what it says. It actually says, "Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out.' So the people rested on the seventh day." Now look, as you read through the Old Testament and you get more familiar with the story of the Israelites, it can be really easy to judge and criticize the Israelites. The more you learn about their story and recognize that God has given them very clear instructions, and then they go do the exact opposite again and again and again. And you get to a point where you're like, "Oh my word, these people are morons." But let me tell you the sad reality. Let me tell you the sad reality. You see, when verse 27 says, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, I know that I would have been among them. I would have been one of the people who blatantly ignored God's command to rest. I would have been somebody who tried to keep working even though God told us, take a day off. How do I know that? Because by and large, that's how I've been living my life. More often than not, I'm neglecting God's command to rest. And perhaps you're wondering, well, how have you ignored the command to rest? What does that even look like? It's pretty simple. Instead of resting, I keep working. I send a few more emails or Slack messages late into the evening. I work during large portions of my day off. I regularly schedule meetings and calls during times I'm not supposed to be working. I consistently start the workday early and end late. I'm typically hustling to get a few more things crossed off my to-do list. And I don't come close to using all my vacation. I came to realize that at one point this past 2 years, I didn't take a Sunday off for 53 weeks in a row. And I know that maybe none of these individual examples seem all that extreme. And part of the reason for that is because my behavior is considered normal. It's even celebrated in hustle culture. But what really got my attention and highlighted just how much I've neglected the Sabbath is when one of my kids said to me, Dad, you're never here. You're always at meetings and stuff. They don't even care what it is. But they knew I wasn't present. And at that point, I knew something had to change. I had to evaluate the pace and rhythm of my life. And this morning, I would encourage you to do the same. To evaluate the pace and rhythm of your life, to ask yourself, would I have been among those who were trying to gather food on the Sabbath? Am I neglecting God's command to rest? You see, this rhythm of work and rest that God modeled and established, it wasn't just a seasonal habit for the Israelites where they were wandering the desert for 40 years. And it wasn't just intended for the Israelites. The rhythm of work and rest was meant to become a core habit, not just for them, but for you and me. And God makes that clear when he includes it as one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And I think the majority of people, even in this room, we'd be willing to acknowledge our need for rest, at least to some degree. And we'd be willing to admit that rest is a good thing. But what makes this particular commandment so difficult to keep is that the Sabbath is meant to happen on a weekly basis, every 7 days. And so while you may be good with resting once in a while, you may be good with slowing down to rest a few days a month or a handful of days a quarter, or when you get sick and you're forced to rest, that is not what God had in mind. That is not the rhythm he established. And it's clear from Exodus chapter 20 that God meant for the Sabbath to be a weekly rhythm. Now, whenever we fail to obey God's commands to do things his way, we shouldn't be surprised when there are consequences as a result of our disobedience. And in Exodus chapter 16, when the Israelites collected more food than they were supposed to during those first 6 days, or to say it another way, when they worked too much. The extra food they collected was full of maggots and smelled bad. God didn't reward them for doing more than they were supposed to. And for those who went out to collect food on the Sabbath, they weren't rewarded for their efforts and their exceptional work ethic, which is how their behavior would have been viewed in hustle culture. Instead, they returned to the camp with nothing. Their extra labor was only an exercise in futility. Like the Israelites, I've experienced my own consequences for ignoring God's command to remember the Sabbath and for conforming to the demands and expectations of hustle culture. See, the reality is there have been consequences and warning signs throughout my life, really since I was a teenager. However, I've only connected the dots these past couple of years. And what I've come to realize is that when I don't rest or Sabbath like I should, God has a way of slowing me down. And when I'm doing too much for too long, and therefore failing to practice the core habit of rest, God allows me to reap what I sow. And so within the past 2.5 years, I've experienced a number of seemingly random physical ailments. No rhyme or reason as to what's going on. And at first, I didn't think much of it. But as soon as one issue would pass, the next issue would be close on its heels. And I went from feeling like I rarely had anything wrong, and no physical ailments, no sickness, no issues, to dealing with some kind of issue more often than not. And it started with a kidney stone, which wasn't fun. Shortly after that got resolved, I started to experience pretty intense pain in my jaw. I don't know why. I went to the dentist. They didn't know why. They checked for a fracture in my jaw. Did I have a cracked tooth? Was anything else going on? Was I grinding my teeth? None of that. Eventually, after about a month or so, that subsided. This was followed by random pain in my hips and my knees. It hurt to walk. I couldn't even kneel down on a pillow when I was playing games with the kids or hanging out with them. After that subsided, it just randomly went away on its own. I woke up one morning to find that my ankles were crazy swollen, both of them. Like I would press on my ankle and leave an indent where my finger was. I felt like Stretch Armstrong. You guys remember that toy, right? Wild. And I was like moving around like my ankles were putty. It was crazy. After a month, it went away. And then I started to experience an accelerated heart rate when I was just sitting around, not doing anything. And that eventually led to chest pains and tingling down my arm. And so as recent as this past summer, I was at the doctor's office getting an EKG, trying to find out what is going on. Throughout this season and this journey, I spoke with numerous medical professionals. It took a number of tests. All the results inconclusive. But with the help of some friends and a professional counselor who I still see twice a month, highly recommend that, I began to connect the dots. And much of what I had been experiencing was a result of doing too much for too long. I had been ignoring one of the Ten Commandments, failing to prioritize any kind of weekly rhythm of rest. And I conformed to hustle culture rather than practicing the rhythm of work and rest that God designed. And of course, the obvious solution to the problem for me and anyone else who struggles with this issue is to practice the core habit of rest and Sabbath. And while I'm also really glad to have identified that as the problem and the solution, knowing what to do and actually doing it are two very different things. So what makes it so difficult to practice this core habit of rest? Well, see, one of the reasons that it's so difficult is because we're sinners. And therefore, we don't always do what God wants us to do. We want to be in control. I want to do things my way. I want to go at the pace I want to go at. After all, I got stuff to do. And so we don't do things God's way all the time. Another reason that practicing the core habit of rest is difficult is because ignoring the Sabbath is what's celebrated by our culture. In fact, we typically are rewarded for our lack of rest. It's not uncommon to get a promotion or to earn a bonus or a raise or get an attaboy, receive public recognition for hustling all the time. And what we know is that what gets celebrated gets repeated. And so even though it doesn't honor God and may have side effects or consequences, we keep signing up for more. Practicing the core habit of rest is also challenging because practically speaking, it's just difficult to do. See, if you're like me, whenever this topic has come up in the past or even right now, you have the tendency to roll your eyes, shrug your shoulders, and think, rest must be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? Isn't that cute? Thinking about rest and how unrealistic and insane that sounds. To rest, to slow down. It seems like a pie in the sky concept. Or man, I wish I would be able to do something like that. And we wonder, how am I supposed to slow down and rest when I'm building my business, when I'm raising my family, when I'm juggling both school and work, when I'm juggling multiple jobs? And I get it. I've been there. I'm still there. And I have these kinds of thoughts, even as I prepared for this message, I've been thinking, okay, what does rest look like, or how are we supposed to slow down this spring and this upcoming season with both of my boys playing baseball, and I'm coaching one of their teams, and both of our girls starting in dance, and that's on top of all the other normal just things we have to do, the places we have to be. What am I gonna do? How am I supposed to rest with all that going on? But even with all that my family has going on and all that you're juggling, what we still know to be true is that rest was built into how God designed us to operate. It's a crucial component of how we're designed to live. And so rest is not meant to be optional, but it's also far more than an obligation. I want to take us back to Exodus chapter 16, verse 29, which says, they, the Israelites, must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. It's his gift to you. Think about it. God established this weekly rhythm of rest when the Israelites were coming out of slavery after 400 years. For centuries, they were never given the opportunity to take a day off. They were never given the opportunity to rest from their work. But then God steps in and provides a better way of living. He frees them from captivity. He allows them the opportunity to rest. He provided the Israelites with this amazing gift. And this incredible thing, this incredible gift, what's so incredible is that God has given us this same gift as well. In the New Testament, Jesus says he invites us to come to him, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. A similar message is communicated in Matthew chapter 2, verse 27, which says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, meaning God intended Sabbath keeping to be a blessing and not a burden. Sadly though, so many of us, we don't see this core habit of rest or Sabbath as a gift. No way. We see it as a frustration, as a burden, as something we have to do, not something we get to do. And we complain about having to slow down because that's only gonna keep me from getting more stuff done. And like the Israelites, we're operating as if we're still in captivity, as if we have to work nonstop. And unfortunately, the reality is that many of us, myself included, we are in captivity. We've made ourselves slaves to hustle culture. But it doesn't have to be that way. God has provided us a better way. He's established a rhythm where both work and rest coexist. And so what if we began to see rest and Sabbath as it was meant to be, as God's gift to us, as a way that he cares for us, provides for us, and sustains us? What if we allowed it to serve as a weekly reminder that God is more than able to provide for all of our needs? What if we committed to practicing rest and Sabbath every 7 days? What if it became the best part of our week? That's the direction I want to go. That's what I want to chase after. And I hope you'll join me. And so for those of you who want to adopt the core habit of rest, allow me to provide you with a few practical steps to make that happen. The first step is that we need to go before God and confess our sin, that we've been neglecting the Sabbath. We've got to own that what we've been doing is not the best. It's not what he desires for us. The second step we need to take to incorporate the core habit of rest is that we need to schedule it and then fight for it and then protect it. Because see, we all know that if we don't make a plan to rest, it ain't gonna happen. If we don't schedule it on our calendar, it's not gonna happen. And then once we schedule it, we have to fight for it to stay there. We have to protect that time. Other opportunities are gonna arise. Of course they will. There's always more to do. But God calls us to slow down and rest. And so we need to protect that time and say no. The third step we need to take to practice the core habit of rest is find someone who can keep us accountable. Someone who can help make sure that you're taking the time to rest. See, the reality is that most people, even some other Christians, they're not gonna be lining up to cheer you on. Rest is countercultural. It's not something that is going to be celebrated. In fact, you're probably gonna take some flack for it. Because we even see that in Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, there's a story about Jesus visiting the home of two sisters, Mary and Martha. And while Martha was bustling around the house, getting everything ready, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. And at one point, Martha gets fed up with Mary and goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." In other words, Martha is annoyed that Mary has slowed down to rest. She wants her to embrace hustle culture. Do more. But notice how Jesus responds. He says, "Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it's not going to be taken from her." Jesus doesn't want to take away a rest. He came to give it. Most people in our lives are going to be like Martha, pushing us to do more, to fill our calendars, to never stop. The temptation to embrace hustle culture is not going to go away. And so we have to have people in our corner who are going to help us to choose what is better. I'm sure that practicing the core habit of rest is going to be difficult, especially at first. I know this to be true. And it's likely going to be a situation where we take two steps forward and then one step back. Why? Because we're sinners. Sometimes, like the Israelites, we're morons. We don't do what God tells us to do. But in time, I am confident that we will come to see that God's way of doing things, experiencing the rest that he came to give, is so much better. There's one final element of rest that I want to address this morning. You see, I would imagine that some people in this room are experiencing a lack of rest, even though their pace of life isn't chaotic. They may have embraced God's design for both work and rest, and yet they still are lacking peace. And the reason for this is because they're striving all the time to earn God's favor and approval. They're trying to do everything they can to be seen as worthy and good enough by God. And unfortunately, this has led to a lack of rest and peace. And if that's where you're at this morning, I want you to listen carefully to these words in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You see, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for everything that we've done wrong, he did all the work. He did it all. He didn't leave anything for you to do. It's done. As he hung there on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Not, "I did most of it. Derek finished the last 10%. He did it all. There's nothing left except for us to put our faith and trust in him. And so if you're ready to stop striving and constantly working to earn God's favor, if you're ready to experience the Sabbath rest that Jesus came to provide through his death and resurrection, then right from where you're seated, I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning, and you can simply repeat this prayer after me. Let's pray. God, I want to receive the free gift of salvation that you have to offer. I know that there's nothing I can do to earn it. Please forgive me for my sins. I believe in Jesus and the rest that he came to give. And today, I commit to living my life for you. Amen. God, I pray that you would also help us. God, that you would help us to shed hustle culture and to find the rest in you that you came to give, that you desire for us to have. Amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.